नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम थर्ड कैंटो चैप्टर 10 टेक्स्ट 1।
विदुरुवाचा
अन्तर्हिते
भगवती
ब्रह्मलोका पितामह प्रजा ससर्ज पतिथा दैहिकीर् मानसीर् विभू। विदुरुवाचा अन्तर्हिते भगवती ब्रह्मलोका पितामह प्रजा ससर्ज कथिता दैहिकीर्मानसीर् विभू। अन्तर्हिते भगवती ब्रह्मलोका पितामह प्रजा ससर्ज क्वथिता दैहिकीर्मानसीर् विभू।
अन्तर्हिते भगवती
ब्रह्मलोक पितामह प्रजा ससर्ज कथिता दैहिकीर्मानसीर् विभू। विदुरुवाच अन्तर्हिते भगवती ब्रह्मलोक पितामह प्रजा ससर्ज कथिता दैहिकीर्मानसीर् विभू। विदुरुवाच अन्तर्हिते भगवती ब्रह्मलोक पितामह ससर्ज कथिता दैहिकीर्मानसीर् विभू। विदुरुवाच श्री विदुरः सेड् अन्तर्हिते आफ्टर् द डिसअपीयरेंस भगवती ऑफ द पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड ब्रह्मा द फर्स्ट क्रिएटेड लिविंग बीइंग लोकपितामह द ग्रैंडफादर ऑफ ऑल प्लैनेटरी इनहैबिटेंट्स प्रजा जेनरेशंस ससर्जा created. Katita. How many? Daihiki. From the body. Manasihi. From his mind. Vibhu. The great. Sri Vidura said, O great sage, please let me know how Brahma, the grandfather of the planetary inhabitants, created the bodies of the living entities from his own body and mind after the disappearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No purport, you can read the next verse. Ye cha me bhagavan prishtas tvayartha bahuvittama tan vadasvanu purvyena tan vadasvanu purvyena chindina sarva sangshayan. O greatly learned one, kindly eradicate all my doubts and let me know of all that I have inquired from you from the beginning to the end. Purport. Vidura asked all relevant questions of Maitreya because he knew well that Maitreya was the right person to reply to all the points of his inquiries. One must be confident about the qualifications of his teacher. One should not approach a layman for replies to specific spiritual inquiries. Such inquiries, when replied to with imaginative answers by the teacher, are a program for wasting time. Om Gyanatimirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Shrayam Rupakada Mahyam Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Itam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha Hey Krishna Kuruna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kopitrubhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vash Adi Gaur Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Viduru Vacha Antarhite Bhagavati Brahmaloka Pitama Praja Sasarja Katitha Daihikir Manasir Vipu Ye Cha Me Bhagavan Ye Cha Me Bhagavan Prishtas Twayartha Bahuvittama Tan Vadasvanu Purvyena Chindina Sarvasangshayan. Verse follows on nicely from what we were discussing yesterday. That one should approach or surrender to a teacher in whom one has full confidence. There's no use asking questions from a person whose answers we don't trust. Srila Prabhupada would often invoke that point when some challenging person would ask him a question like, have you seen Krishna? And Prabhupada would say, if I tell you, would you believe me? And the implicit answer was no. And therefore, Prabhupada's response would be, then what's the use of answering if you're not going to accept what I said? That I'm approaching you for your understanding and then rejecting it means I'm wasting time. If I don't think that you can answer my question competently, then why ask? And if I do think you can answer competently, why not accept? So, tad vigyanartam sa gurumeva abhigacchet. If one wants to get the real benefit of understanding practically, deeply, the meaning of the Vedic message, one must approach a bona fide spiritual master. Gacchet. Gacchet is imperative. One must. It's not optional. But one must be assured that the person I'm approaching is qualified. When I have confidence, yes, I'm confident about this person's qualifications. He's the right person to answer my question. Then we approach, yes. That's the system. And then by hearing from that person submissively, our doubts will be dispelled. If we have doubt to begin with whether the person knows what he's talking about, whatever he says will not be effective. It won't have the same effect in clearing our doubts, because I doubt to begin with whether he's competent. But once I've accepted, here's the competent person, and I've heard from him submissively, my doubts will be cleared. And that's the process. In any, even ordinary affairs, you go to the authority in any subject, and you ask him, what's the real story? Could you explain this? And when he explains it, then we accept. Otherwise, just approaching your friends, well, what do you think this is about? Doesn't answer the question, doesn't solve the problem. So one has to approach a qualified person, a person in whom we have confidence, and inquire submissively from him. Then chindi, please eradicate. Chindi means cut to pieces. Chindi. Cut to pieces these sangshaya. Sangshaya means doubts. Sarva sangshaya, all the doubts. Doubts arise from ignorance. I don't know. I come here, I don't know whether to turn this way or that way, so I'm in doubt. And I ask some knowledgeable person, he says, no, you go this way. Then my doubts are eradicated. The doubt was due to ignorance, and the doubt is dispelled by knowledge. So one has to approach the person in knowledge. This process of eradicating knowledge is also mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Because this purport is so short, I thought we could read a little bit from the Bhagavad Gita also. We have some books. You can find, maybe you can give people books if you follow along. We can take from here. Yeah. This is addressed in the seventh chapter. The Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Maya sakta mana partha yogam yunjan madashraya asamshayam samagramma yata gyasisi tachchunu. That's the first verse of chapter 7. Maya sakta mana partha yogam yunjan madashraya asamshayam samagramma yata gyasisi tachchunu. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, now hear, O son of Pritha, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. We'll skip a little down the purport because it's quite a long purport. There's the paragraph that begins, one should therefore begin yoga practice. One should therefore begin yoga practice as directed in the last verse of the sixth chapter. Concentration of the mind upon Krishna, the Supreme, is made possible by prescribed devotional service in 9 different forms, of which Shravanam is the first and most important. The Lord therefore says to Arjuna, touch Trinu, or hear from me. No one can be a greater authority than Krishna. And therefore, by hearing from him, one receives the greatest opportunity to become a perfectly Krishna-conscious person. One has therefore to learn from Krishna directly, or from a pure devotee of Krishna, and not from a non-devotee upstart, puffed up with academic education. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, this process of understanding Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, is described in the second chapter of the first canto as follows. Shrinvatam swakata Krishna punya shravana kirtanaha hridyantaksto hibhadrani vidhunoti suhritsatam nashta prayeshva bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya Bhagavat yuttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki tadarajastamo bhava kamalo padayaschaye cheta etair navidham stitam satve prasidati evam prasanna manaso bhagavat bhakti yogataha bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate vidyate hridaya grantis chidyante sarva sanshayaha shiyante chasya karmani drishta evatmani shade. To hear about Krishna from Vedic literatures or to hear from him directly through the Bhagavad Gita is itself righteous activity. And the one who hears about Krishna, for the one who hears about Krishna, Lord Krishna, who is dwelling in everyone's heart, acts as a best-wishing friend and purifies the devotee who constantly engages in hearing of him. In this way, a devotee naturally develops his dormant transcendental knowledge. As he hears more about Krishna from the Bhagavatam and from the devotees, he becomes fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. By development of devotional service, one becomes freed from the modes of passion and ignorance, and thus material lusts and avarice are diminished. When these impurities are wiped away, the candidate remains steady in his position of pure goodness, becomes enlivened by devotional service, and understands the science of God perfectly. Thus, bhakti yoga severs the hard knot of material affection and enables one to come at once to the stage of asangshayam samagram, understanding of the supreme absolute truth, personality of Godhead. So this is the process. One has to hear from Krishna, the supreme authority. One has to hear from Krishna, the supreme authority, or from the representative of Krishna. To hear from the representative of Krishna is as good as hearing from Krishna himself. And therefore we have to hear in that way. Shrinvatam svakata Krishna punyashravana kirtana. Hridyantaksto hi abhadrani. Abhadrani means the unwanted things in the heart. Abhadra, the inauspicious things, doubts. Elsewhere Prabhupada says the doubts are compared to demons. So these demonic, unwanted things within the heart are meant to be cleansed away by hearing from Krishna. Then, by hearing from Krishna and Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, serving the pure devotee of Krishna, the unwanted things will be knocked away. Modes of passion and ignorance, lust and avarice will be cleansed away, and one will be situated in the mode of goodness. Evam prasanna manaso. Then he becomes happy-minded. He becomes happy-minded by contact of bhakti yoga and by realization of Bhagavat Tattva, Krishna consciousness. He becomes freed from material existence. Vidyate hridaya granti, the hard knot within the heart, is pierced. And chidyante sarva samshaya, same thing. All the doubts are cut to pieces. Kshiyante chasya karmani, drishte vatmanishri. And one comes to the stage of understanding the supreme personality of Godhead. There's something else I was thinking about. Where is that? Prabhupada talks about this in relation to the life of Narad Muni. Someone know where that is? Is it 9th chapter? Or is it 7th chapter? It's not 8th chapter. Yes, It's ninth chapter, second. Prabhupada makes the point, it's the second verse, it's a very long purport, we won't go through all of that, but he makes the point that one actually experiences Krishna consciousness without any consideration of mundane education or previous qualifications. Do you see that there? It is said that the execution of devotional service is so perfect. Second verse?
Yes, it's on page 446 in this book. Okay. Second
verse. It is said that the execution of devotional service is so perfect that one can perceive the results directly. This direct result is actually perceived, and we have practical experience than any person who's chanting the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In course of chanting without offenses, feels some transcendental pleasure and very quickly becomes purified of all material contamination. This is actually seen. Furthermore, if one engages not only in hearing, but in trying to broadcast the message of devotional activities as well, or if he engages himself in helping the missionary activities of Krishna consciousness, he gradually feels spiritual progress. This advancement in spiritual life does not depend on any kind of previous education or qualification. The method itself is so pure that simply by engaging in it, one becomes pure. By chanting and by distributing to others the message of Krishna, one makes progress. And Prabhupada speaks from practical observation, practical experience, and practical observation. In the Vedanta Sutra, this is also described in the following words: Prakashas cha karmanyabhyasat. Devotional service is so potent that simply by engaging in the activities of devotional service, one becomes enlightened, without a doubt. A practical example of this can be seen in the previous life of Narada, who in that life happened to be the son of a maidservant. He had no education, nor was he born into a high family. But when his mother was engaged in serving great devotees, Narada also became engaged. And sometimes, in the absence of his mother, he would serve the great devotees himself. Narada personally says, Uchchishta lepan anumodito dvijay sakritsma punje tadapasta kilbisha evam pravittasya vishuddha chetasas tad dharma evatma uchi prajayate. In this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 1.5.25, Narada describes his previous life to his disciple, Vyasadeva. He says that while engaged as a boy servant for those purified devotees during the 4 months of their stay, he was intimately associating with them. Sometimes those sages left remnants of food on their dishes, and the boy who had washed their dishes wanted to taste the remnants. So he asked the great devotees for their permission. And when they gave it, Narada ate those remnants and consequently became freed from all sinful reactions. As he went on eating, he gradually became as pure-hearted as the sages. The great devotees relished the taste of unceasing devotional service to the Lord by hearing and chanting, and Narada gradually developed the same taste. Narada says further, Tatranvaham Krishna Kata Pragayatam Anugrahin Ashranavam Manohara Ta Shraddhaya Me Nupadam Vishrinvita Priyashravasyanga Mamabhavadruchi. By associating with the sages, Narada got the taste for hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, and he developed a great desire for devotional service. Therefore, as described in the Vedanta Sutra, prakashascha karmanyabhyasat, if one is engaged simply in the acts of devotional service, everything is revealed to him automatically, and he can understand. This is called pratyaksha, directly perceived. So this is the process of Krishna consciousness. It doesn't depend simply on mechanical means, nor stereotyped education received from academic authorities. Nor is it understood to the person who simply asks casual questions from the qualified person. There's a devotional dynamic here. The submissive soul, the receptive soul, who has the mentality of a humble service mood, becomes enlightened by the grace of enlightened souls. Narada Muni says, just by taking a little of their prasadam and hearing from them, the nature of the transcendentalist became attractive to me. I got their taste. It rubbed off on me. Because they liked me, I was submissive, and they gave me their mercy. So I was hearing from them in a very submissive way, and I was serving them, I was washing their dishes, and helping my mother serve them. He just became lucky. The sages could have gone to any house, but by the will of the Lord, they went to that particular place, and his mother was engaged, and he was engaged, and he was hearing. One time I was with Prabhupada, right after I was initiated, I was in Boston with Srila Prabhupada, assisting Govindadasi, who was Prabhupada's cook at that time. And it was a little house. Prabhupada had a little room. And one morning he was sitting in his room, and he was just chanting a little bit to himself. Sansara dava naladita loka tranaya karunya kanatana. Little chanting. No drums, kartals, just chanting to himself. And I was sitting outside the door, my ear to the crack in the door and listening. And then Prabhupada called, Jayadvaita. So I came in. Prabhupada said, you were hearing? I said, yes, we were. Very good boy.
You ran the other side of the door.
Huh?
He couldn't see you.
Anyway, he knew I was there, so he called. Very good boy. Prabhupada appreciated. Yes, he's here. So this is the process. Anavritti Shabda. One becomes freed from all the unwanted things, all the doubts, all the junk, all the misgivings, Prabhupada sometimes says, all the hridaya dorvalya, the weakness of heart, by hearing the words of the enlightened soul, hearing the transcendental sound vibration from the enlightened soul with submissive mentality. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. Surrender and service and inquiries. Pariprashna, pranipat, and seva. That's the formula. Yes, that's the formula, that we should hear in a submissive mood and render service. And we should hear from the qualified person. When we hear from the qualified person with the submissive mentality, then our doubts will be destroyed. Asam shayam samagram mam yata yasyasi tachchri. Just hear from Krishna, Krishna's representative, all the doubts will be finished, and then one will be freed. One will see one's relationship with Krishna and be freed from material existence. Drishtvai Bhagmanishri. Yes. All right. Any questions?
Mm-hmm. Yesterday, you were answering Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu's question in relationship to the qualifications of the disciple and how you should hear from the guru. In this verse, Prabhupada is indicating what are the qualifications of the guru or the teacher. So maybe you could say something about that.
Yes, Prabhupada said that just as when a man is potent and a woman is fertile, then by their conjugation there will be conception. If the man is impotent or the woman is sterile, then there won't be any result. So the disciple must be qualified and the spiritual master must be qualified. The qualifications of the spiritual master are mentioned. Tad vijnanartam sa guru meva bigasche samitpani shrotriyam brahmanishtam. Shrotriyam means he has to be coming in the disciplic succession. He has to have heard from the predecessor acharya. That's shrotriyam. Can't be, as Prabhupada said, a puffed up upstart who's just going to tell you something from his own imagination, his own brilliance. He's has to faithfully reproduce the sound vibration of the predecessor acharya. A shrotriyam, to reproduce that first, he has to hear. So he hears and repeats. That's shrotriyam. And brahmanishtha. He has to have firm faith in Brahma, the personality of Godhead. Brahmanishtha. Elsewhere it's said, tasmad gurum prapadyeta jigyasu, an inquisitive person should surrender to the bona fide spiritual master. Tasmad gurum prapadyeta jigyasu shreya utam, when he's inquisitive about the ultimate goal of life. Shabde pare cha nishnata brahmani samupamashram. The same things actually mentioned. Shabde pare cha nishnata. He has to have heard the message of the Shastras from the authority. And he has to have realization. He has to have taken shelter of the person who's taken shelter of the Absolute Truth. Brahmani samupamashram. He has to take shelter of Krishna. So it's two levels, you can say. Formally, he has to have heard, and in terms of realization, he must have acted also. Not just enough to hear, but after hearing, just Prabhupada has a wonderful place in Bhagavad Gita. Says, after hearing Bhagavad Gita, one should promptly come to the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita and surrender to Krishna. That I hear and don't do anything signifies that I haven't heard. If I hear from you that this building is on fire, and I sit here saying, we've just heard that the building is on fire, and that means I haven't heard. I'll run for the door, I'll grab the fire extinguisher, I'll do something. Otherwise, I haven't heard. Although I've heard, I haven't heard. Hearing means you act. Your mother tells you to do something and you just kind of shrug your head. Didn't you hear me? And you say, yes, I heard you. Yes, I heard you means I heard you, but I didn't hear you. I heard the words, but I didn't get the message. So the spiritual master, bona fide spiritual master, is the person who's heard from the authority and who's got the message, who's acted according to the message. That's called realization. Prabhupada sometimes says, the self-realized spiritual master. What does self-realized mean? It means it's more than theoretical. It means he acts on the order of the spiritual master. Yatej chasit tathakuru. Arjuna said, Yes, at the end of Bhagavad Gita. Whatever you've said, I'll do it. That's the proof of his realization. At the beginning, Nayotsyaya to Govinda, I won't fight. And at the end, whatever you tell me, I'll do it. That's realization. The self-realized soul, whatever Krishna says, I'll do it. Guru Mukha Padma Bhakya Chitaita. What I've heard from my spiritual master, that I'll do. Prabhupada says, it's not very difficult. It's not complicated. Just whatever the spiritual master has said, you do that. You don't have to be brilliant. You don't have to be decorated with all sorts of academic degrees. You don't have to be clever. You don't have to be inventive. Just whatever your spiritual master tells you to do, you do that. So who's the bona fide spiritual? The person who does that. The person who's followed his spiritual master is the next spiritual master. The person who doesn't follow, what is his position? He may officially say, I'm the disciple of such and such. But he's not following. Then what is the use? Why should I follow him? Why follow the person who's not following the person he's supposed to be following? So the bona fide spiritual master is the person who carries out the will of his spiritual master, follows the directions of his spiritual master. Then he's bona fide. Prabhupada gave the example that the assistant in the train, the conductor is saying, now press this button, now turn this wheel. And so he presses this button, he turns that wheel. So then he's a bona fide assistant because he's doing what he was told to do. You have to do it and not think, well, he said do this, but I think I'll do the other thing. And the trained person is the person who's obedient, who obeys the orders. Therefore, it's one of the offenses in to disobey the orders of the bona fide spiritual master. One has to follow. So when we find the person who's conversant with the message, who's heard the message from his authority, from his spiritual master in the parampara system, and who carries out the instruction, who's faithfully executing the instructions received, he's the right person.
Yeah. But also Brahmanishta.
Excuse me?
But also Brahmanishta.
That's Brahmanishta.
Just to follow.
Yeah. You tell me, turn right. And I get to the fork in the road and I say, well, I don't know. You said turn right, but right doesn't look right.
Okay, but I'm turning right but I'm eating a hot dog at the same time.
Excuse me?
I'm turning right but I'm eating a hot dog at the same time.
You're turning right but?
I'm eating a hot dog at the same time.
Well, that means you had faith in the instruction to turn right, but you didn't have the faith in the instruction just to eat prasad. Not that you pick and choose. Follow means follow. Doesn't mean you just follow one or two things. It means you follow. No intoxication. No gambling. That's the first thing. Prabhupada runs through this in the first canto, where he's talking about the sages of Naimisharanya and how they put Shomeka Rishi there as the chief person. So Prabhupada talks about the qualifications. First qualification, no gambling, no intoxication, no meat eating, no illicit sex. Even to live in the temple, you have to have those qualifications. What to speak of, be the spirit, to be a disciple, you have to do that. No gambling, no intoxication, no meat eating. So you see the spiritual, so-called spiritual master, he's got a girlfriend, he's eating any kind of rubbish. What kind of guru is that? And there's so many like that. Dutam panam striyam striyasunam yatra dharma chaturvida. In the punishment of Kali, it's concluded that anyone who wants to be a king or a guru or a public leader has to avoid these four principles of adharma. Striya, illicit sex, sunam, dutam, gambling, meat eating, striyam, sunam,
intoxication.
Now, dutam, panam is intoxication. Yatra dharma chaturvyuh. Because that's where there's a dharma, not dharma. So we have to, but my point is that if I have faith in the spiritual master, then I'll do what he says. And if I'm doing what he says, that means I have faith.
But do we equate faith with Brahmanishtam? Because even the Bhakta is following perfectly.
He has Brahmanishtam, he has something.
But is faith the same as Brahmanishtam?
Yes. Brahmanishtam means faith. Nishta, that word nishta, means faith. But it means firm faith. Firm faith. And Brahma means the Vedic direction, is called Shabda Brahma, or personality of Godhead, who's identical with that direction. He's Brahma, Param Brahma. So he has faith in the message, and he has faith in the personality of Godhead. And the sign, the evidence of his faith is that he follows. Even the neophyte has some faith, otherwise why is he following? You know, why is he insisting, no, I want to take prasadam, I don't want to go for Big Mac. Because he has faith. He sits there and chants some rounds, he sits there and reads the book, because he has some faith. Otherwise, why is he wasting his time? If he doesn't have faith, he'll think, why should I go there and waste my time? Let me do something else in which I have faith. Go to the rock concert, go to my girlfriend's house. But he's coming, he's chanting, he's taking prasadam. That means he has faith. Arau Shraddha. He has the faith of the beginner. But it's called Komala Shraddha, pliable faith. So the bona fide spiritual master is the person who has firm faith. He doesn't just follow for a day, a week. His whole life is dedicated to carrying out the order of the spiritual master. Firm faith. Not this soft, pliable, one day yes, one day no, not quite sure, maybe. Nishta means firm faith. It's faith. Shraddha is faith, nishta is faith, nishta is firm faith. And that's described after anartha nivritti. By hearing, one gets freed from the anarthas, unwanted things in the heart, the doubts. Then the next thing is nishta. Faith is there, but as long as the anarthas, the junk is there in the heart, it's weak faith. But when the anarthas are extinguished, then it becomes nishta, firm faith. So we want to approach the person who has firm faith. Is that okay?
Oh, I just had a different understanding of Brahmanishta.
What's your understanding?
That means fixed in spiritual conception of life beyond bodily conception.
What does that mean? Fixed in the firm conception.
Well, it's not just a matter of faith. A new bhakti has faith.
But he has weak faith.
I understand that. But I think Brahmanishta means more than just faith.
Well, look it up in the dictionary. Or look it up in the Vedabase and see what Prabhupada gives for nishta. The literal definition of nishta, as far as I understand, is strong faith, firm faith. Nishta. Yes. Nishta means, dictionary definition, strong faith, firm faith. And fixed in the conception, personal conception. That means, because he has strong faith, that's why he's fixed. How is he fixed? Why is he fixed? What fixes it?
Well,
you know, the picture is fixed to the wall because there's some blue tack or there's a nail. You can say that picture is fixed to the wall, but it's fixed because there's something fixing it. What fixes me in the conception of the your language is there, clear conception of the absolute truth. How am I fixed? The conception is there and I'm there. What fixes me to that?
What comes first, the chicken and the egg? Is it faith or the experience? Is he experiencing it, therefore he's faithful, and he's faithful and he gets an experience?
You may have an experience, but unless you develop firm faith, you'll say, I had a great experience. What's happening over at the bar?
Well,
it doesn't matter whether you had some faith and therefore you had an experience, or whether you had an experience and therefore it led to faith. But when you have a firm, when your faith is firm, then you're fixed up. Otherwise you have an experience. The whole world has experiences. We all have experience. And sometimes we all have transcendent, you know, people come and they join the kirtan party and they have a fantastic experience. And then they're gone. Or they join the temple and they stay for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, a year, and then they're gone. They had experiences like all the rest of us. But they're not stuck. Why not? Why didn't they stick? What's nishta?
Fixed in the absolute.
No, that you're going circular. They're not fixed because they're not fixed. What is it that would make them fixed? What is it that, what's the fixative? What's the thing that fixes them?
Their experience of transcendence, their experience of God.
No, it's not the experience. It's not the experience. It's
the lack of it.
Experience, lack of experience. I have an experience. You have the same experience. But what makes the difference?
Someone can be very faithful and have no realization.
Really? How is he possibly faithful with no realization?
There's degrees of faith.
But you just said no realization. Now you're saying there's no...
Okay, well, if he has inadequate realization, he can still be fixed in Krishna consciousness.
He's fixed with inadequate realization. That's something like saying this thing is fixed here with blue tack that's not sticky.
Well, he may be fixed for some period of time and fall away after a period of time. We've seen that also.
That may be there. And that may happen to the person who has nishta. You can fall down from nishta. Nishta is not the position of infallibility. You can fall down from bhava. King Bharat fell down from bhava. What to speak of nishta? Nishta literally means firm faith. Don't believe me. My laptop's over there, look it up. Dictionary is there, database is there, look it up. Yes, it implies experience, it implies staying. What is it that's fixing me? It's my firm faith. Firm faith in the words of the spiritual master. Why is it that he can't be deep? That's described in the Bhagavatam. The Kanishtadhikari, Madhyamadhikari, Uttamadhikari. What's the difference between them? Their knowledge and their faith. That's the criteria that Rupa Goswami pulls out. That the difference between the Kanishtadhikari and Uttamadhikari and Madhyamadhikari in between is their degree of knowledge and their degree of faith. Kanishtadhikari has some faith also, but it's kamala shraddha, pliable faith. And the Uttamadhikari has faith also, but his faith is unshakable. Therefore, he's an Uttamadhikari. He has deep knowledge and unwavering faith. Knowledge, and they both have experience. The Kanishtadhikari has some sort of experience, Uttamadhikari. Of course, the Uttamadhikari has greater experience. But what's his access to that experience? His knowledge, his faith. That's, you know, we say a person is fixed in Krishna consciousness. Why is he fixed? Because he has firm knowledge and firm faith. Is that okay?
Yes, I guess it just comes down to what comes first, whether it's your experience of Krishna consciousness produces a degree of faith that defines your position in Krishna consciousness, whether you're with some Adhikari or Krishna Adhikari.
You'll have both. It's not mutually exclusive. If you have some faith, you'll get some experience. If you have some experience and you're receptive, your faith will grow. I heard that you walk down the road, turn right, and go half a mile and you'll reach Vatsal's house. You'll see a little sign in the corner and then you turn right and then you go half a mile. So I start walking, I get to the corner, I see the little sign. I say, wow, there's the sign. My faith has grown. I had an experience. I walked, I saw the sign, I said, this looks pretty good. Now my faith has grown. Then I turn right, and I walk, and they say, you know, you're going to see a big maple tree halfway down the road. I see the big maple tree. My faith grows. My faith was already there. Now it's grown. I had the further experience confirming my faith. Now my faith is real strong. I bet you, you know, few furlongs along the way, and I'll reach Vatsal's house. The faith, without the initial faith, I wouldn't even get to the corner. And unless the faith is sufficiently strong, I say, well, there's so many signs, you know, I can't go by that. So my faith is moving me along, my experience is building my faith.
So you're saying one pulls the other.
Yeah.
When you say that, I'm mutually exclusive.
Yeah, you don't like say, well, you know, is it faith or is it, you know, is it surrender or is it the nature of his inquiries or is it his service? And then start arguing, which is, you know, Krishna says, it's all three. It's surrender, it's service, it's inquiry. So it's not exclusively, you know, just faith. And it's also not exclusively experience, because people can have the experience and not get it. Mm-hmm. So your experience combined with your faith, even without the faith, you don't get the experience. You know, two people, you get put two devotees together and there's some crisis. And going through the crisis, the one devotee becomes stronger and the other devotee bloops. Right? They both had the same experience. You know, some police guy came and said, you're not allowed to be here. You know, if I see you here again, I'm going to cut your throat, whatever it is. And one devotee has the experience. I depended on Krishna and the other devotees. I went out there and they yelled at me. Although they had the same experience, they had a different experience because of their faith.
It seems as though one could have faith and not follow them. When you see, no, straight to the example you gave of, you know, someone told you how to get to so-and-so's house. Hmm. So you may believe in that person and they maybe even begin the trip, but then halfway through the trip you haven't given up the idea that that's the right way to get there. It's just now you become distracted. Even so much so somebody else could be on the same trip and they want to reaffirm, am I going the right way? And you said, yeah, definitely. See the sign, go half a mile after that, no problem.
Meanwhile, I'm going back the other way.
Right.
Yeah. It means loss of interest. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada equated faith and interest. It was, I heard a lecture he gave in Toronto, Ashradhana Purusha, Dharmasyasya Parantapa. Ashradhana, he equated faithless, Ashradhana, with not having interest. He said, the problem is you are not interested. They're part of, you know, they go together in that sense, that faith and interest. If I really have faith that serving Krishna is good, what is that? Shraddha Shabde Vishvash Kodi Sudridha Nishchoy. Krishna Bhakti Koilo Sarva Karma Kutuha. Shraddha, faith, is defined as having firm conviction, just by serving Krishna, I'll do everything. If I have that, you know, then why would I not? It means that there's some weakness. All right, I actually, therefore, from one point of view, a person has faith in the spiritual master, faith in the instructions, but he has some weakness. You know, he's making progress, but a friend says, you know, have a cigarette. Or a girlfriend comes up and snuggles up to him and says, what about me? And so he loses it. But if he actually has firm faith in the words of the spiritual master, he'll come to the right point very quickly. Even if he gets just Bharat Maharaj. He got distracted, but he got back on track. Nishtha, that firm faith, powerful thing to have firm faith. And Prabhupada sometimes said that I had firm faith in the words of my guru. It's very powerful. So that even if a devotee is deviated or distracted, we see that if he has firm faith, Krishna will pull him along or pull him out, or he'll come back to the right point. Whereas Krishna says the faithless person, he's nowhere, not in this life or the next. He's not going to be anywhere. Iha amutra. I've forgotten exactly what it is. But Krishna says, neither in this world nor in the next. We can look it up. I hope that we find it. Someone have a good idea where to find that? Yeah, that sounds like that's it. You just need the first word and you're in business. Partanaiveha namutra. What comes next? Yep, 640. Vinashas tasya vidyate. Partanai veha namutra vinashas tasya vidyate. That's a little different. The person who's Krishna conscious isn't destroyed. But that's not the verse I'm thinking of. For the doubting soul, there's happiness neither in this life nor the next. No, that's not it. Maybe it's someplace. Anyway, we will find it, but we probably will not find it now. Oh, actually, with my little red book, it's better for finding things. Of course, first you have to find your little red book. It is. No. No, it's up in the beginning there, someplace. 440? Yep. Agyas cha shradhanas cha samshayatna vinashyati. Nayam lokosti na paro na sukham samshayatnam. 640. Person who has no faith, he's nowhere. Not in this life, not in the next life. No happiness for him. But the yoga sanyasta karmanam jnana sanchinna sanshayam. The person whose doubts have been sanchinna, completely cut up, cut to pieces, by jnana, by knowledge, transcendental knowledge. Atmavantam nakarmani nibadnanti dhananjaya. Tasmada jnana sambhutam pritstam jnanasinatma chitvainam samshayam yogam atishto tishtabhat. Therefore, the doubts that have arisen in your heart due to illusion should be cut by the sword of knowledge, chitvainam, samshayam yoga, with yoga, you cut this samshayam, jnanasina, that will be effective.
Maharaj, I have a question. You mentioned in your class that by hearing from proper person, we our doubts are removed. And looking from the perspective of second generation devotees, when practically all proper disciples are superior and we take shiksha or we have this attitude or this mood towards everyone. But very often hearing from different persons actually creates more doubts. You know, and because there's so many different approaches to the same instruction.
You have to know what the... You have to get to the essence of the thing. Prabhupada said one spiritual master may differ from another about details. But that's details. If you find that one ISKCON guru is saying serving Krishna and the other says serve Shiva, then we have a problem. One says chant Hare Krishna and one says, well, Hare Krishna, Shiva Shiva, or Mary had a little lamb, you know, it's all. But on details, there may be some difference. That's not taken as important.
So I was thinking of the faith and experience argument with what comes first.
Yeah.
Is it kind of like the mercy and endeavor?
It's kind of like, as you said, the chicken and the egg, or the number of angels that can fit on a pinhead. It provides engagement for people who have no better engagement. They can argue about which came first, or you know, a lot of other. There's Maya's generous with things to argue about, so we can always depend on her generosity when we're willing to waste time in that way. Yes.
I'm wondering about. So we were talking about how someone develops faith in another person and then they surrender themselves to that person. Mm. Sometimes we have situations where due to, I guess, someone's position, for instance, they just happen to be in a position where they expect that someone is going to have that attitude towards them, but they don't actually. Or even it might connect somewhat to what Krishnananda was saying. Oftentimes in these discussions where you hear senior devotees talking and giving all these various differing opinions on what usually is details, what goes along with it is this idea that you must follow this detail that I am saying.
Well, there are two things that enter into that. Or it's a question of authority. Now, who's an authority? Someone's an authority because he's my spiritual master and I've surrendered my life. And someone's an authority because he has a particular administrative position. So the Vedic injunction is that to the spiritual master I should have the same faith that I have in God. Yasya deve para bhaktir yata deve tata guru. Tasyaite katita hiyata prakashante. And I have to revere the words of my spiritual master like those of God. That means absolute authority. Surrender my life there. And the administrative authority, I have to give respect to his position. Now, he may be a very learned person or very advanced devotee, then that also counts. But ex officio, by virtue of the office, he's entitled to a certain respect. Even when Sanatan Goswami was meeting with the Brahmins while avoiding his duties in the government, when Hussein Shah came and entered the assembly where they were discussing Bhagavatam, all the Brahmins stood up. He was a mlecha. He wasn't following Sanatan Dharma, but he was the king. So they showed respect to the position. Even the father, if he argues a case before the judge and the judge is his son, he'll say, "My lord, if it please the court," he has to show respect to the position. So that's culture. So that has to be there. Or even, from another point of view, because he's the godbrother of the spiritual master, he should be shown respect. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed respect to Ramchandra Puri, who is a super critic and behaving like a true rascal. But Guru Buddhya, because he was the godbrother of his guru, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, treated him with respect.
Externally?
Yeah, I mean internally I'm sure Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew what was what.
But then it's later on that Chaitanya Chaitanya sometimes Lord Chaitanya would not pay any attention to it.
No, he was happy when he left.
No, yeah, all the Vaishnavas were happy when he left.
I think it did say that sometimes he followed what he said and sometimes he didn't.
Oh, in the story, he followed everything. If he was criticizing, you're eating too much. Yes, I'm eating too much. Let me cut in half. He was showing him respect. Everybody else was tearing their hair out, you know.
Or I guess when he went away.
They all had a celebration.
Yeah, because he didn't keep it up.
Excuse me?
He didn't keep that up. He didn't take that as an instruction that he needed to keep performing.
At least, once he was out of there, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu
went back to his regular eating habits.
Excuse me?
He went back to his regular eating habits.
Went back to his regular program.
So I guess he did that out of respect.
Out of respect. It's not that I've surrendered my life to Ramchandra Puri, whatever he says, I have complete respect, I have complete faith. But anyway, he's my guru's godbrother, he's my senior, let me respect his words. He says I'm eating too much, let me cut down.
If I'm in his presence, I guess.
Yeah, in his presence.
At least that way you're not just blatantly saying, you're not my guru, you're just my godbrother.
You show respect. You know, the Brahmins, they may have had their own opinion about Hussein Shah, but because he was the king, they showed respect. You know, the police comes and stops you, and says, you were doing 60 miles an hour in the 50-mile zone. I'm sorry, officer. Yes, officer. No, officer. My license and registration are here, officer. Now, you may think whatever you want about him, but you'll say, officer, officer, officer. Yes, officer. Huh? Mm-hmm. Why? Because he's wearing this big hat and a badge, and he's got a police car with a light that goes zoom, 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 and a siren, and he represents the government. So you may have whatever opinion you want, but you'll show respect there. You may think that the officer is a jerk, that the government law is wrong. You may think whatever you want, but you'll show respect. If your guru tells you, slow down, you're speeding, that you have to take that as absolute instruction. The guru says, don't drive too fast. It's dangerous. It's not, you know, this is Krishna's property. Your body is Krishna's property. Don't speed. Now, that's not a relative instruction anymore. It's not even a government instruction that you have to respect because, you know, they could do something to you. Now, it's my guru is saying. So I may show obedience to either one, but one is, my confidence is there, my surrender is there. And the other is, at least let my respect be there. For social harmony, otherwise human society becomes anarchy, because no one respects anyone who has any position. The position, the chair has to be, you know, someone's the chairman of a meeting. So you may think about whatever you want, but he's holding the gavel when he says, no, I've given the floor to this person. Then everybody has to say, all right, this guy has the floor. And that's how the meeting progresses, because we've accepted that this person should carry the authority at least for some time. So we respect the position. Sannyasi, elder person, there are various, but the mother, Devadvij Brahmins, Deva Dvija Guru Pragya Pujana, they're respected. Okay? Is that all right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm basically, let's say if someone, I guess usually when someone's position is in relation to a particular sphere of activity, so you would follow whatever they say in those sphere of activities, but if they expect to have control of you in some other area, then
that's different.
You don't have to take
that. We see where a person's jurisdiction is, that the person's temple president doesn't mean he can tell me, you know, what my wife should cook for lunch for me.
Yeah.
You know, it's outside of his jurisdiction. But in the temple, if he says, you have to do this, you have to do that, well, he's the president. Yeah,
Everybody has his truth. But the guru has his jurisdictions everywhere. I give my life to my spiritual master.
I was also wondering one other thing, I guess, if it is one other thing. As far as that, it seems like oftentimes, sometimes, well, that sounds funny, but either way, that a person is trying to be a guru to so many other people who have not accepted them in that position. Sometimes trying to force a different conception on other people or force certain instructions on others. Is that ever, in what situation is that okay? And is there anything to be gained by that? And what are the dynamics of that particular?
Well, it can be analyzed at some length. First of all, it's ineffective, as he says, you know, he may say what he wants, but I'm going to do what I want.
Yeah.
Because I haven't accepted him as an authority. When I surrender, then I'll do anything you tell me. But if I haven't surrendered, I'll do what I think best. And then, so from my side, the dynamic is that I can take it or leave it. And from his side, if he's thinking, you know, he has to do it because I'm a guru, well, it's he's got a perceptual problem there.
Problem.
Because you're not under that obligation. It's voluntary.
Yeah.
It's a voluntary relationship. I may be guru for my disciple, but that doesn't make me guru for the world. Those who are not my disciples. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Yeah, I don't want to keep everybody till midnight, but one, should this be the last question?
It's not that close.
He's the president, right?
It's not that close to midnight.
Sorry?
It's not that close to midnight.
It's not that close to midnight. Okay.
Well, I wanted to ask Maharaj if you could say something about the dynamic between Shiksha and Diksha Guru, like from the perspective of the...
Shiksha and Diksha Guru, they're cooperative. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada says they're equal and identical manifestations of Krishna. The real guru is Krishna. Bande Krishna Jagat Guru. He's the actual guru. Then he's represented by the initiating spiritual master, by the instructing spiritual master.
So when, excuse me, if I can, so when someone, for example, who accepts the Srila Prabhupada Shiksha Guru for every member of ISKCON, now some devotees, they look for help of other devotees, senior Prabhupada disciples who are in the position of being guru, even if they are not their Diksha Guru. When someone is making this decision, or, you know, I'm trying to understand how someone feels that, you know, needs to have another instruction coming from some other person like that. I'm just trying to understand more of this.
Why does he need, if he has a Diksha Guru, why does he need another Siksha Guru? Or if he has Prabhupada, why does...
We have Prabhupada as Siksha Guru. We have our Diksha Guru.
Do you understand everything that Prabhupada said and how it applies?
Maybe not. No.
Maybe not. Then maybe you might need someone to help you understand it. That's called Siksha Guru. Or my spiritual master has told me to do something. He may be one of Prabhupada's disciples, has told me to do something. Do I understand the instructions that he's given me?
He's not there present.
He may not be there. You know, he's in Ukraine and I'm in Taiwan. And he comes, you know, once every 6 years. Prabhu, could you mop the floor? Well, I don't know. I'll have to send an email to my Guru Maharaj. And there's so many questions that we may find answered with the help of the Shiksha Guru. Prabhupada said, Shiksha Guru is the person who helps you follow your Diksha Guru. He wrote to Kirtananda Swami. It's not that he's, you know, your Diksha Guru takes you to the right and your Shiksha Guru takes you to the left. It's supposed to be a cooperative team effort, as it were, to bring you back to Godhead. So the spiritual master who initiates gives you instructions, and then the instructing spiritual master helps you further. so that you're all pulling in the same direction. That's the idea. Not that the Shiksha Guru says, well, what are you listening to him for? That's not the idea.
And the disciple here has the same kind of surrender towards Shiksha Guru as the
if they're identical and equal manifestations of Krishna. What does it mean, Shiksha Guru?
Well, because there is, for example, we can...
I can take it this way, that we may receive valuable instructions from so many people, and we take something here, something there.
Yeah.
That's also Shiksha. You can say Guru, he's a teacher. But there's also a depth at which one surrenders. Rupa Raghunatha Pade Jarash, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Gohe Krishnadas. Surrendering at the feet of Rupa and Raghunath Das Goswami. And that's different from just, you know, I kind of wanted to know how to tie my dhoti, so I asked, you know, a senior devotee. That's fine, that's good. And he may teach me so many things. But for Kaviraj Goswami, he says, this is my hope, this is my aspiration, the lotus feet of Rupa and Raghunath. Shiksha Gurus. So it can reach that depth, and then you get something more profound than you get from just respecting that this is a senior person and he can tell me something, which is has its own value. Not that we all have to go search, where is that Shiksha Guru? Someone says, I have my Shiksha Guru, and that does it for me. But one may have any number of Shiksha Gurus. And we see how Kaviraj Goswami has accepted Raghunath Das Goswami, Rupa Goswami. So it may come to that. Shall we stop? No. Anything else?
If we're still taking questions,
I guess we are.
We've got others. But I was wondering about this that we were talking about yesterday, the drawing different lines as far as, I guess it really comes down to maybe details and principles of the instructions of Srila Prabhupada and how, or like you were saying, there's certain issues that people will say it's more it was due to his cultural...
Therefore, one needs to be guided. If we want to understand Srila Prabhupada, then the best thing is to take shelter of someone who's taken shelter of Srila Prabhupada and follow him.
Yeah.
Someone that we have confidence that he's... Then we don't have to re-decide the question. My Guru Maharaj accepted it this way, I accept it. Bas.
Yeah, I guess what my question is basically, doesn't what you just said really kind of allows for a lot of different lines being drawn in different places, and
that's what
it's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no problem there.
There's some room. Again, if you know, well, my Guru Maharaj said that cigarettes are not really intoxicants. Well, okay, you know, we have a problem. We have a problem. But, you know, my Guru Maharaj said 5 kartals for the kirtan, and your Guru Maharaj said 2. We're not going to have a serious issue about that, come to blows about 2 kartals. No, 5 kartals. It should have saffron in it. No, it shouldn't have saffron in it. Chili pepper. No chili pepper. These are details. We can be a little accommodating for differences in details. That's what makes for community. You can accommodate that. This person's this way, this person's that way. I probably gave the example of the different political parties in a country. They're at odds with one another, really. But as far as the country goes, they're all on the same. They all have the same loyalty. They're trying to serve the government in different ways.
In the Srihat Bhagavatamrita, there's mention that the Kapila reduced the pride of Ravana.
Kayla reduced the prior
and
problem.
I wasn't aware of that.
I'd have to see what that's about. I don't recall. Shall we stop here? I think so. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.